cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you for this reminder this morning of how we need to be thankful for the salvation that we have. It seems like such a simple statement, but it has such a deep message to have the confidence of knowing that our sins are forgiven. And we just pause to reflect and to thank you this day. As we look at your word, I pray that our hearts would be open to hear from you. May your spirit speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The microphone always gives me grief here. One push, puts it at standby, second push, turns it on. So I had one push, but I didn't get the other push. But nonetheless, it's been a busy Easter weekend. We had a great service here Friday morning. A number of you folks were here together as we reflected on the cross and as we thought about the death of Jesus at Calvary. Then a number of us went off on this hike up into Halton Hills, up into the bush, and we trudged through snow going to the falls. But it was a great afternoon to be out in God's creation, to enjoy the fresh air, the crisp air. And you know, this is a pretty tame group. There wasn't even a snowball fight. You know, we had all the snow, but there wasn't even a snowball fight up at the falls. But a few did get wet, but not me. I'm smarter than that. Then Friday night, we watched the Jesus movie, and there was about 50 of us here Friday night to watch that movie about the life of Jesus, and it was just a good reminder, again, what Jesus came to do, what he accomplished when he came, and with his accomplishment, how we are affected by his life and his ministry, and then ultimately his death and resurrection. A buddy of mine was he's a retired missionary now, but he was a missionary in the Congo. And one of the things he did was to take that Jesus movie into the jungle, back into the bush. That movie, the Jesus movie, has been translated into 871 different languages. And he had a copy of it that was the language of these village people that lived in the jungles in Africa. They had no electricity, so he had a generator that he ran the projector. They'd never seen a projector. They'd never seen electricity even. The village was without electricity. And so they were quite taken by this missionary. His name was Glenn. And as he came into their village to show this movie. Well, he set up the screen and he set up the movie, and the whole village came. Because as you can imagine, it would have been quite the sight, because they'd never seen anything like this before. See pictures and sound and the like of this movie, this Jesus movie. Well, they were quite taken with Jesus. As they watched, they never had heard of Jesus before. And as they watched his life unfold, they were just enamored with what they saw. Their eyes were glued to the screen, as you can imagine. One, they'd never seen electricity. Two, they see this movie. And three, they see this story unfold of this man called Jesus. Well, as this story goes, and as you know how this story ends, when Jesus started to be beaten and pummeled by the Roman guards, the village, whole village, got all agitated, got all upset, and they actually turned and started to yell and scream at the missionary who was showing this movie, thinking that he was partly responsible for what was going on in this movie to Jesus. And he had to turn the projector off. He had to go and settle them down, and he had to tell them, you know, the movie isn't over yet. Just wait. Be patient. So he started the movie up again, and as they continued to watch, they saw in horror what happened to Jesus. And when they were pounding the nails in his hands and feet and putting him on the cross, again, they just erupted. They started weeping and wailing. They just couldn't understand what was going on. What was happening to this man, Jesus? And they were again coming at the missionary, yelling at him, thinking he was responsible. And again, he had to turn the projector off and quieten them down. See, they never experienced this before. They'd never seen anything like this, and they didn't know how to react or respond. But they settled them down, and again he told them, this story isn't over. Be patient. Wait till it ends. And then, after the crucifixion, they see that this man Jesus, whom they had taken to, were put into the tomb, and you could hear some crying in the crowds. In the crowd as they sat and watched. But then as the story continued to unfold, and as the third day came around, and the people went to the tomb to look, well, actually to prepare the body a little bit better with spices and perfumes, and when they saw, the crowd saw the tomb empty, there was just a big, oh, what happened? And then, as the story unfolds with the women's meeting up with the angels, the couple that met on the road to Emmaus with Jesus, all of a sudden you could sense the whole atmosphere in that place starting to get excited. And then they see the picture of Jesus there with his disciples, and Jesus showing the disciples his hands and his feet, and all of a sudden the whole crowd that was there watching erupted. And they started jumping up and down, celebrating and laughing and just in joy and praise as to what had happened. Now again, the missionary turned the projector off, but he let them continue to celebrate. Because it is a point to celebrate, to reflect, to remember that the grave did not hold Jesus. Jesus defeated death. The tomb released him. And because of that, he is alive today, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And in that position, he is interceding on our behalf. And because of that, we can have hope and assurance that one day we'll too be with him. Because Jesus defeated death, we also will defeat death and spend our eternity with God the Father. Now, what do you see in this Easter story? That's what we want to look at this morning. All right. I got to go that way. What do you see? The whole Jesus movie is based on Luke chapter 24. So we're going to just take a few minutes here to understand this story, as different people that were there saw different things. The story starts with a group of women. And the women, they saw angels at the tomb that Easter morning. In Luke 24, starting at verse 1, it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices, the spices they had prepared, and went to the tomb. They found a stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. You see, the women, as they prepared after the burial of Jesus on the eve of the Sabbath, they had given up all hope. The dead was dead. Jesus, their master, was dead. Their Lord had died. And they had come to grips with it, and they decided to accept what they could not change. So their whole thinking on that resurrection morning was to go down to the tomb, take the perfume and spices that they had, and just properly prepare the body of their Lord. They came with grief, sadness, and defeat. But when they got there, it was a sight that they weren't even expecting. And they couldn't understand. They didn't know what had happened. Now you can imagine being face to face with an angel. They said the garments were as bright as lightning. And you know what lightning's like in the pitch of night, especially when you're out camping and you're out in the bush or out in the wilderness and a thunderstorm starts to roll in and you hear it in the distance, and then all of a sudden you not only hear the crack of lightning, but you see it, and everything is lit up for a momentary second. Well, imagine somebody being dressed like that coming up to you face to face. What would you do? Well, the ladies, the women that were there, they did what everybody would have done. They, in fear, they were fearful, and they put their faces down. Imagine the glow was more than they could take. But they listened to the message from the angels, and the angels said, "Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?" Like, they knew what happened. They understood. But why didn't the women comprehend? Because this was such an unlikely tale. It was such an unlikely story that someone would come back from the dead. It sounded impossible until they began to reflect on what Jesus said. And then they began to recall, oh yeah, he told us that he had to die, that he would be buried. And then on the third day, he would return to life. Exactly what Jesus said became true. And for men and women of every generation since then, this is what Jesus has come to do. He comes to bring hope and replace that hope that replaces our grief. He comes to give us new life out of death. He comes to give us that reality, that experience, even today. Just as the women experienced that hope, so too can we grasp onto it and hold it dear in our hearts today. Now, the women naturally didn't keep this to themselves, and they took it back to the disciples. And here, the next responder is Peter. The woman had to tell, so they rushed back to Jesus' disciples who were hiding in a safe house in Jerusalem. And there, starting at verse 9 of chapter 24, it says, "When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." Have you ever been told something? Or have you ever been told the truth and no one believed you? You know, you got something to tell them, that something happened, and it's the truth this thing happened to me. You know, you perhaps you're walking along downtown, and suddenly one of your favorite movie stars walks in front of you, and you see them firsthand, you know, face to face. You know, it's not beyond the realm of possibility here with movie festivals and whatnot. And you come home to tell them, you know, I just saw, you know, George Clooney. Or I just saw Angelina Jolie, right? That's the name. You know, and your friends or your family here, yeah, sure you did, you know. You were dreaming or you were sleeping, I'm sure you know, that's not true. But, you know, you tell the truth and nobody believes you. And this is what the women experience. They go to the disciples. They say, the tomb is empty. Jesus isn't there. And he goes, yeah, sure, yeah, yeah, you were up too late last night. Yeah, you're seeing things. But Peter heard. And you can sort of see his mind. Could it be? Maybe? Is it possible? And you know, as those thoughts went through his mind, he left that safe house and he ran to the tomb to see it by for himself. Peter wondered, what if? Maybe, and that caused him to run to the tomb. Peter is like all of us. We're naturally skeptical. You know, it's part of the human dilemma that we are skeptical. Yeah, they say spring has come. Yeah, where is it? You know, yeah, it was here yesterday, but it's gone tomorrow. Yeah, and then we get skeptical of listening to the weatherman, don't we? Because he's not always on our side when he says it's spring now, and we're still going to get snow tomorrow. You know, and so it's naturally to be skeptical. And many people are skeptical about Jesus, about what he has done, what he came to do. The empty tomb was an absolute truth, but it sure helped Peter in moving him down that road of faith. Right away he knew something was happening, and he wanted to see more, and he wanted to hear more. And then as we go further into the scriptures, we see this couple who meets up with a person walking on the road to Emmaus. And this couple sees a stranger. And the couple are chatting back and forth to one another. And if we were to put this, the next few verses in a script form, it would go something like this. Cleopas was one of the couple. He says to the stranger, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened in these days? The stranger replies, what things? Well, the couple answers, about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who is going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. The stranger started to interject and discuss this news and with what the Old Testament prophesied, and the couple was kind of dazzled by the knowledge that this stranger had, the information, the insights that he was able to share about these events in Jerusalem. And they were so excited with the dialogue and the discussion they were having that they invited him to come for supper. And it was during that supper when they realized who this stranger was. This stranger was Jesus. It was true. He was alive, and he was right there in their midst, eating a meal with them. How could it take so long for them to recognize and believe that Jesus was there? Well, there are a lot of people like Cleopas today. A lot of people who have had Jesus visit their lives, but they've never recognized him. They never realize that they have been in the presence of the Son of God, and they ignore him and go about their business, leaving him out of their life. And that's what Easter is all about. When Jesus comes into our life and we give him the opportunity to begin to participate in our activities, in our actions, in our behaviors, in our thinking, and suddenly our eyes are open to who Jesus is. And we begin to understand what he has come to do. He opens our eyes to see the truth about Jesus that was right there all along, only we just didn't have the eyes to see. And that's a challenge that we have in our midst here today and in our world that we live in. A lot of people have been in the midst with us, with Jesus, but they've never accepted him as their very own. They've never agreed to his terms and accepted the forgiveness of sin that he has provided and allow him to become partners with us in this life. We're either still skeptical, or we are just don't have our eyes open to what Jesus came to do for us. Fourthly, we see how the disciples then responded to Jesus with what they saw. The couple after the Emmaus experience, you know, did a 7-mile run back to Jerusalem. That was about the distance that they had walked, leaving Jerusalem and along the Emmaus Road. And they ran back because they had to report what had happened. So again, they find Jesus' disciples and his friends, and they run into the home and tell them that Jesus is alive. Luke 24:34, it says, it's true. They said, it's true. Jesus is risen. Now everyone started talking all together, you know, there were stories here, I heard rumors over here, reports over here, you know, questions from others over there, there's excitement, you know, as Steve mentioned earlier, you know, can you imagine if this happened today and how it would hit the media? And, you know, with the way information travels today, the news would travel in milliseconds around the world. As they begin to deal with the reality that here was one that was executed, had been punished for his non-crimes, nailed to the cross, died on the cross. They had proof of that. And now they put him in the tomb, and now the tomb is empty and he has come alive. In verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. How we got there? Nobody knows. Whether he came through the door or whether he just arrived, that's not the point of the message. The point of the message is that he came to them there in that room or in that house, and he tells them virtually just calm down. Calm down. Just absorb the fact that I'm alive and take and experience peace. Just be peaceful. And you can imagine, all of a sudden, Jesus showed up in your midst, right there in the room that you're sitting in. And they responded that they thought they saw a ghost. It says, and the scripture says, but it was no ghost. Jesus was alive, Jesus was there, and Jesus told them, look at my hands, look at my feet, in verse 39. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Jesus stepped right into their lives. At that moment in time, he came right there into the room, face to face with him, up close and personal. And there is no other way to say the reality of a relationship with Jesus is not something so far-fetched, so far out there that is not anywhere near reality. It's just like here in the room in this safe house, up close and personal. That's what a relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. And what they saw his scars. And that just again moved them to incredible joy and amazement. It was like the showing of that movie when those villagers saw the resurrected Jesus when he stood before the disciples with his scarred hands and feet. They got up and celebrated. They had a party. They rejoiced at the news that Jesus is alive. That's the same response we're to have today. To celebrate, to rejoice, to realize that Jesus Christ is alive. What do you see at Easter? What is it that you see? At Easter, everyone is invited to come and see Jesus for yourself. We see Jesus on the movie screen, and if you watch the History Channel tonight, the Bible's last segment of this five-part series will be on Jesus and the ministry after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. So you see Jesus on the movie screen. You see Jesus in the Bible. You see the Jesus in the Easter story. You see Jesus in your prayers. You see Jesus in your dreams, in your home, in strangers that God sends to you. You see Jesus in the circumstances of your life. You see Jesus, you experience Jesus, you believe Jesus, and you must accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. Because he will transform your life from this point until we are ushered into his presence in glory. Back the beginning of the 20th century, in 1917, there is what's called the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, where Stalin took it upon himself to try and eliminate Christianity from all of Russia with and replace it with communist atheism. He sent out people from his party to go and force everyone to hear speeches from these commissioners denouncing Jesus Christ and substituting Jesus Christ for Karl Marx. After one such speech, the commissioner sat down convinced that he had talked them out of their faith. Convinced that the people, as they had heard, they rejected this claim of Christ and the whole Christian faith, and they had taken what this commissioner said as being truth and accepted atheism. A Russian pastor, who was also sitting in that group, stood up at the back of this assembly hall and said, "I just have one thing to say. Just one thing to say." And he said, "Christ has risen." And the whole room erupted. "He has risen indeed. He has risen indeed." They had seen for themselves and they had believed. This Easter, see Jesus for yourself and believe in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this incredible gift that you gave to us, the gift of your Son. Father, it's hard for us to understand completely what you have done for us. And it takes a particular amount of faith to accept it, particularly in this world where there are so many conflicting messages pounding our minds and our ears. But Father, may we realize and remember that the truth of what Jesus has done is that He has provided for the world the only way to You. And with all the other religions, all the other belief systems in this world, there is none that have made the claim that heaven will be provided for you based on one person's actions, that action of Jesus. None of them claim that. None of them, they all say, or a lot of them say there will be another life, but it's all based on what we can do ourselves. But here, in what You have provided for us in the story of Easter, is that because of what Jesus has done, we have the assurance that it is His shed blood that brings us forgiveness of sin. It's nothing about what we can do or what we have done. Because we are sinners, pure and simple, saved by grace. Father, thank You for Jesus. And Father, as some of us in this room are skeptical, some of us just don't see Jesus, I pray that before today is over, that they will see Jesus as their Savior and Lord. We give You thanks, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. And amen. I'm going to ask the worship team now to come and bring us our last worship song, please.